as it is Purim right now, the festival, the Feast of Purim that the Jews are celebrating, you're going to discover what that festival is all about today and why it's so important. And it would really be good if you're going to study the book of Esther, you need to sit down and read it all at one time. There's really, you know, 9 full chapters and 3 scriptures that make up chapter 10. So you can sit down and read it in 30 minutes, and it is a very, very important book. And so for time's sake, we're going to be in many of these chapters to get to our point today in a reasonable amount of time. And so I don't have the time to read all the different the full chapters. So Amy is going to read. This is something that we have. Somebody put this together on the book of Esther. It will kind of give a good summation of the book, and then we'll pick up in chapter 3.
Okay, we ready? Thank you, Lord. The book of Esther. The story of Purim is told in the book of Esther. The heroes of the story are Esther, a beautiful young Jewish woman living in Persia, and her cousin Mordecai, who raised her as if she was his daughter. Esther was taken to the house of Ahasuerus, king of Persia, to become part of his harem. King Ahasuerus loved Esther more than all the other women and made Esther the queen. But the king did not know that Esther was a Jew, because Mordecai told her not to reveal her identity. The villain of the story is Haman, an arrogant, egotistical advisor to the king. And Haman hated Mordecai because Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. So Haman plotted to destroy the Jewish people. In a speech that is all too familiar to the Jews, Haman told the king, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your realm. Their laws are different from those of every other peoples. They do not observe the king's laws, and therefore it is not befitting the king to tolerate them." Esther 3:8. The king gave the fate of the Jewish people to Haman, to do as he pleased to them. Haman planned to exterminate every one of the Jewish people. Mordecai persuaded Esther to speak to the king on behalf of the Jewish people. This was a dangerous thing for Esther to do because anyone who came into the king's presence without being summoned could be put to death. And she had not been summoned. Esther then fasted for 3 days to prepare herself, and then she went into the king. He welcomed her, and later she told him of Haman's plot against her people. The Jewish people were saved, and Haman and his 10 sons were hanged on the gallows that Haman himself had prepared for Mordecai.
Thank you, honey. Okay, so what a drama in the book of Esther. And it's in this book you see that the very existence of the Jews, the Jewish nation that had been taken into captivity, was hanging in the balance. Just as with Hitler and what happened there, with 6 million Jews being exterminated. Haman wants to exterminate the Jews. And so a little bit more background on this book of Esther. It has different applications, but Haman in this book represents our flesh. He's from the Amalekites, which is the oldest and worst enemy of God's people, the Amalekites. Of the Amalekites, God said, "My soul hates the Amalekites." And God gave a word of extermination to them. And we remember that King Saul did what? When King Saul was in power, he killed the Amalekites. But what did he do with King Agag? He saved King Agag. Now, Saul cut him to pieces. But in our mentality, There's with the flesh, and the Amalekites represent our flesh. And Haman, whose name also means burning and fire, a burning, like with hellfire, is against us. Esther represents the born-again believer. Mordecai is the Holy Spirit, and the king is King Jesus. And when you see these battles happening in the book of Esther, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and all these battles that are being waged, and actually what sets Haman off to form a plot to eliminate the Jews was as he was elevated in the king's realm to be over all the other advisors, only under the king, which, by the way, this king is Xerxes. King Xerxes here, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name that Amy read it. I think the New King James Translation uses Ahasuerus, is how you actually say it. Impressed? I worked on that name for quite a while. But it's actually Xerxes, which is a lot easier for people that have problems speaking like I do. So Xerxes has elevated Haman to a position where he's above all the other advisors in the realm. And Haman is very arrogant, very prideful, and everybody bows down and worships Haman. And as Haman is coming in and out of the king's palace, at the gate of the king's palace is this Jew, Mordecai. And Mordecai, his name actually means little man. And he's a type of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit takes on such humility to come inside you and me. I think that's a beautiful picture. But at that gate, he would not. And it says, I'll read this verse to you. It says in verse 2, it says that everybody bowed down to Haman with their faces touching the ground. But Mordecai would not kneel or bow to him. And because of this, Haman, he loses it. He, no matter how many blessings he has received, because Mordecai won't bow down, this one Jew will not bow down to him, he absolutely forms a plot to not only kill Mordecai, but all the Jews, because it's told Haman that Mordecai is a Jew. When he hears that, he wants to exterminate all the Jews. And so he began to throw dice, lots is what it was called, to throw lots and dice, okay? To find out what the lucky day was going to be that he could actually execute his plot to exterminate all the Jews. And so they began in the month of Nisan, first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan, and he and his magicians or his whoever was throwing the dice for him, they threw the dice on every day. In the month of Nisan, they would throw the dice and see if that was the lucky day. They got through the first month, no lucky days. They got through the second month, no lucky days. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh month. They continued to throw the dice until the 12th month, the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar, that was the lucky day. But I want to tell you something. God's way ahead of the devil. And while they're casting lots, God's working. God's got a plan. And because God need, and we're going to see that God's praying people brought that plan into existence, into fulfillment. And so, you know, this is just a really powerful truth that the enemy is still limited, guys. He just can't do anything he wants to do. God absolutely had his hand that there would be a one-year delay from the time. Haman was so angry, if he could have landed that dice on the first day, he would have eliminated the Jews that day. But isn't it in providence of God and in faithfulness of God that he's way ahead of the enemy? And so the word in that you'll read is P-U-R, pur, that it means lots. And so that's where you get the word Purim and the Feast of Purim. The celebration of the casting of the lots, okay? And so it says that the king authorized Haman's plot. And in verse 13, messengers were sent with official documents. This is in Esther 3. Official documents to all the king's provinces, 127 of them from India to Ethiopia. The people were ordered to wipe out, kill, and destroy all Jews, all the Jews. Everybody say all the Jews. young and old, women and children, on a single day. The 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. Their possessions were also to be seized. This is bad news for the Jews. This is as bad a news as you can get. And so in chapter 4 of Esther, let's turn there. Verse 1. When Mordecai found out about everything that had been done, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes. He went into the middle of the city and cried loudly and bitterly. He even went right up to the king's gate. Now, no one could enter it wearing sackcloth. But when Mordecai hears the edict that has been sent out through the provinces for the Jews to be destroyed, what does he do? He gets into prayer mode, prayer and fasting. And the sackcloth and ashes represents urgency and this humbling of himself and beseeching God to move and to save the Jews. Verse 3, in every province touched by the king's command and decree, the Jews went into mourning, fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many put on sackcloth and ashes. So you see that it's not just Mordecai, but now the Jews who have heard this realize that their very life is hanging in the balance and that they all need to pray and fast. So how does this relevant today for us, other than this being a history lesson? It shows us what you do when disaster comes. When there's problems, you go into prayer. We have to recognize that this is not something where we can say, God, you're just sovereign and you're just going to take care of us. No, God needs a praying people. He needs us involved. He needs us to grab hold of Him and bring His will to the earth. Prayer doesn't mean anything if God in His sovereignty is going to do it anyway. I mean, if God's going to do it anyway, why do we pray? By the very fact that Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, O Father, your will be done. If God doesn't need you and I praying, well, okay, take example this week. There was a family that we know. And we know the grandparents. And the mother of the child went into the bedroom and how old was the child? 4 months old, the child was not breathing and completely white. So the mother did something, began to perform child CPR and got the child breathing again. And so she calls her grandmother, which goes, you know, in another church. First person she called, Amy Storr. Second person she called, Robin Reinke. Two women of God that pray. That she knew that my daughter and my grandbaby is in a life and death situation. And it wasn't just up to God's sovereignty, guys. They got to the hospital, that baby, they checked out that everything normal. Now the baby's still in the hospital. But listen, when you are in a battle, you've got to know, you've got to pray, and you should have praying people. You should have people that want to pray. Amen? Lift your hands and we are a praying people. And that when there's trouble, we know what to do. Get in your prayer clothing. Get a hold of God. Don't stand there hopeless and helpless and say, well, there, you know, what can we do? God, you're sovereign. No, get in it. See, I've got an amen coming. Come on, Lucia. Keep that amen coming. Don't you love that sound? In every province, okay, now Esther's servants and the eunuchs came and informed her about Mordecai. The queen was stunned. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, the queen is stunned. The queen doesn't know about this edict yet. And she's stunned that Mordecai is sitting, or maybe she does know about the edict now. She's stunned. But she sent clothing for Mordecai to put on in place of the sackcloth. But he refused to accept it. Why am I bringing this verse up to you today? We live in comfort in America, guys. It's so easy to separate yourself from the troubles of this world. You know how many people, Christians I know, they self-medicate? Not with the Holy Ghost. The ways, I've done it a billion times with food. How many of you have done something with alcohol or food or pleasure to get away from the momentary trouble? We've all done it and probably do it a lot. But the best way to self-medicate is to be praying in the Holy Spirit and to be seeking unto God, because you're going to get filled with His life. And then also, the battle needs your praying. And Mordecai refused to accept comfortable clothing, but stayed in the sackcloth. Now this is really important, we understand this. That when you're in a battle, it's not one prayer that's going to usually do it. It's a season of prayer. And many times, Amy, a season of prayer and fasting. All across America and around the world, there were Christians that were praying and fasting the Esther fast, which is 3 days of no food or water. Okay, the true Esther fast. Some did a modification of it. Now, it says, then the decree, he gave a copy. Mordecai informed him is Esther's servant, of what happened to him. He told him the exact amount of soap. So let me just tell you, Esther doesn't know that there's a death sentence out for her and all the Jews yet. All she hears is her cousin who raised her, her parents are dead, and Mordecai raised her as his own daughter, is outside the king's gate in sackcloth. That is not a good position. The king doesn't like that kind of stuff. You couldn't go into the king's presence without joy, without a smile. If you went in depressed, it could end your life. And Esther hears this, and she sends her servants out with nice clothing to cover Mordecai. And Mordecai says, no! And begins to explain to her servants what just happened. 750,000 talents of silver has been promised to the king's treasury for wiping out the Jewish people through all 127 realms. The decree gave permission to exterminate the Jews. And so, he says to Hathach, who is Esther's servant, you go and you tell Esther this, and you show it to Esther to inform and command her to go to the king and beg him for mercy and appeal to him for her people. So the servant returns in verse 9 and told Esther what Mordecai had said. And she says back to Mordecai, all the king's advisors and king's people in the king's provinces know that no one approaches the king in the throne room without being summoned. By law, that person must be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to him will he live. I myself, the queen, have not been summoned to enter the king's presence for 30 days now. So Esther tells her servants, go tell Mordecai, the king hasn't called on me in 30 days. If I go, there's a good chance I'm going to die. I'll just say this. God needs men and women in the church that are willing unto death to serve Him. We need to realize the stakes are huge. And so it's not just about me. It's about King Jesus and His kingdom. And here, Esther's thinking about her own safety. Verse 13, Mordecai sent the answer back to Esther. Do not imagine that just because you are in the king's palace, you will be any safer than all the rest of the Jews. The fact is, everybody say the fact is, even if you remain silent now, someone else will help and rescue the Jews, but you and your relatives will die. Now, I'll just say this. You know, a lot of Christians play it safe. But the safest place that you can be is in the will of God. And if the will of God is on the front lines of a battle, that's a pretty safe place to be if you're in the will of God. But if you're not in the will of God, that's not a safe place to be. And so Mordecai is saying the Jews are going to get rescued because God's not giving up on His people. But you and your family will die for your cowardice. It's a word, guys, that when you protect yourself, the very thing that you hold on to or you try to protect and compromise, you will lose it 100% of the time. Look at your life and say, am I protecting myself here? Am I drawing back here? 100% of the time, you will lose that. That you try in the flesh to protect or out of fear. And then it says in verse 14, and who knows, you may have gained your royal position for a time like this. King James says, who knows, for you have been born and brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. I want to tell you, Esthers, all of us in this room today were Esthers. You are an Esther. You are a believer. You have been given a position in the body of Christ. You are seated at the right hand of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're alive. God, you were born for this hour. Okay? And so Esther sent back this great reply to Mordecai. Assemble all the Jews in Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink at all for 3 entire days. My servants and I will also fast. After that, I will go to the king. If it is against a royal decree, even though it is against the royal decree. And if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do something. How many of you say that you know that there's a purpose for your life now? Okay? We need to realize this. We're not wanting to get out of here. If thank God, if the rapture happens now, I guess we'll go. But not before we do our job as the church. Okay? We have to be employed right now in this hour and not on the sidelines, not protecting ourselves. And so Mordecai did just as Esther had commanded. And how I interpret verse 17, if Mordecai represents the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to all the other Jews. He's speaking to all Christians right now to pray. We all feel it, don't we? Don't you sense something moving in this world right now? All right. So let's go to Esther chapter 5. On the third day, verse 1. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes. Third day of prayer and fasting. She put on her royal robes. She stood in the courtyard of the king's palaces facing the king's throne room. The king was sitting on the royal throne inside the palace facing the entrance. Verse 2. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the entrance, she won his favor. I just thank God right now. We do have favor with God. We have favor through our Lord Jesus Christ. The king held out the golden scepter that was in his hand to Esther, and Esther went up to him and touched the top of that scepter. Then the king asked her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? What would you like? Even if it is up to half the kingdom, it will be granted to you." And so she begins to say, okay, if I found favor, then would you and Haman come to a dinner that I'm going to make for you? And so the king came for dinner with Haman. And then the king asked again, Queen Esther, what can we do? And she says, what's more, Esther, it said that if I really have found favor with you, then come a second time for dinner the next day. Now what happens is that Haman, and this is so cool, Haman, you know, obviously knows now he's been invited to go to dinner a second time. And God's setting this up, guys. God is setting it up for Haman's destruction and Esther and Mordecai and the Jews' promotion. In a disaster like what's happening in Mozambique with Luke and Kristen and that typhoon that came in and wiped everything out, in that disaster, something good has began to come about. Luke and Christian are more active for the gospel now than maybe they've ever been. Doors are opening up for their influence. It's an amazing opportunity. In the disaster, God is moving. What the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. Get this in your heart today, that when there is a disaster, there is a God opportunity. I remember the guest speaker at the GACX conference, he said, if you want to do something great, learn to run for the darkness. Run for the pain. He actually used the word pain. He said, run to where the pain is. Because that's where God's going to be. And He's going to use you to bring salvation. Can we just act on that right now in our heart, that we're not afraid of the pain, that we can run to where there is darkness in the earth? Let's just think about that for a second. Are you willing to run to where the pain is? Or are we going to take off our sackcloth clothing and put on comfortable clothing and kind of forget about what the problems are? Father, give everyone in here this heart that we are not ashamed of the gospel and that we will run to the pain. And so Haman comes to his house and he begins to share with his wife and the other counselors what invitation he has just received. And Haman in verse 12 of chapter 5 says, "What's more, Queen Esther allowed no one except me to come with the king to the dinner she has prepared. And again, tomorrow, the second time, I'm her invited guest together with the king. Yet all this is worth nothing to me every time I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." And then his wife Jeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a pole set up 75 feet high, and in the morning ask the king to have Mordecai's dead body hung on it. Then go with the king to the dinner in good spirits." Haman liked the idea, so he had the pole set up. Chapter 6. So the devil's got his plots and his plans, and he's got his gallows and his poles. Different translations say gallows, others say poles. If it's poles, then what they were talking about was to impale Mordecai on a pole 75 feet up in the ground. If it's gallows, obviously that's hanging. And so in chapter 6, look what happens. The king can't sleep. Verse 1, "So he told his servants to bring the official daily records, and they were read to the king. And the records showed how Mordecai, in days gone by, had informed the king that Bithvan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, had plotted a rebellion against the king, King Xerxes. The king also said, 'How did I reward and promote Mordecai for this?' And the personal staff to the king said, 'Nothing was done for him.'" Nothing was done for him? And so what does the king do? The king says, "I got to do something to reward this guy. He saved my life." And nothing was done. Do you think that God's not ahead of the enemy's plots? This event with Mordecai giving the king knowledge of the plot to kill the king was years before Haman came to power in his position. And so God's always got a way out. He's always got salvation hidden in the earth. There's always, God has got a plan. Whether it's a sick Egyptian 3 days out in the desert with David when he needed help, or whatever that is, you just got to know right now, He's got a plan. God is ahead of the enemy. And so the king says, "Who's in the courtyard right now?" It happened to be Haman. And so the king comes in, Haman comes in, and the king says, "Bring him in here." And the king said, "What should be done for the man who the king wishes to reward?" And Haman thought to himself, "Whom would the king wish to reward more than me?" And so Haman said, "This is what should be done. The servants should bring a royal robe that the king has worn and a horse that the king has ridden, one who has a royal crest on his head. Give the robe and the horse to one of the king's officials who is a noble. Put the robe on the man whom the king wishes to reward and have him ride on that horse in the city square. The king's servants are also to shout ahead of him, 'This is what is done for the man whom the king wishes to reward.'" Haman came up with all this. He thinks he's the man. He thinks he's the one that's going to get this blessing. And the king says to Haman, "Hurry, take the robe and the horse, as you said. Do this for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate, and do not omit anything you have said." I want to tell you, God is going to shove it right down the devil's throat. He is absolutely going to shove it right down the devil's throat. God is infinitely greater than the devil in all the devil's darkness and power. And whatever the plots and the plans of the evil one is, I can give you 50 verses that show that the wicked, they dig a pit for someone else, but they fall into the pit themselves. And here, Haman builds a gallows to hang Mordecai, and he gets hung on it here in a second. But what I love about this is just God going the extra mile here. I mean, this is just perfect. Haman now has to shout out those words. He's got to shout out those blessings over the one he hates. Let's go to chapter 7. We're going to have a quick summation of chapter 7. And so they're at the banquet, just the king and Haman and Esther. And the king says, Esther, well, tell me what you want. Up to half the kingdom is yours. You have not because you ask not. Ask that you might receive. If we pray, we receive. If we don't pray, we don't receive. And so Esther says, there's been a plot to kill me and my people. And it's Haman. The king gets so infuriated that he storms out into the garden. While he's out in the garden, just cannot believe that Haman has plotted to kill his queen. Haman falls upon the couch that Esther is on. And apparently he's begging Esther for his life. At that very moment, again, the king comes in and sees Haman all over the queen. And he says, what is this? In my own house, you're on top of my queen? And then some of the servants of the king step forward and said, Mordecai, or Haman just built a 75-foot gallows to hang Mordecai on. And the king says, get him out of here and hang him on the gallows that he built. And they covered Haman's face and they drug him out. I left out some things, some really cool things about what Haman's wife and counselor said to him. Basically, before this, they said to him, you're a dead man. And that if you want to read about that, that's really amazing too. That Haman's own counselors prophesied his demise. When you pray, you'll get the enemies prophesying against each other. It's just so powerful. Chapter 7, verse 10. So the servants hung Haman's dead body on the very pole he had prepared for Mordecai. Everybody say, on the very pole. Then the king got over his rage. Now let's go to chapter 9 or chapter 8. On the same day, King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. See the turnaround? Also, Mordecai came to the king because Esther had told him how Mordecai related to her. Then the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther put Mordecai in charge of Haman's property. If we were preaching, not on prayer today, but just going through and seeing the allegory, Esther puts the Holy Spirit in charge of her life and not her flesh. But verse 3, well, we're going to stop right there. Go to chapter 9. On the 13th day of Adar, the 12th month, the king's command and decree were to be carried out on that very day. When the enemies of the Jews expected to overpower them, the exact opposite had happened. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. When I look at all the different great truths in this book, I probably go to this verse more than any. Because how many of you would say, in your life, you've had many days where you needed a turnaround. I mean, you've needed a turnaround. You needed something to turn around for you. It can happen in a day. It can happen just like that. In a very short amount of time, your life that's been besieged. It's been beset by issues. You've been under such burdens. In a moment, when you put on sackcloth and ashes and you seek God with all of your heart and you don't submit to comfort, you don't give in to just being self-medicated while hell's raging around you, that as a son of God, a daughter of the Most High, you stand up to that. You don't bow down to it while it walks by and just self-medicate. You get yourself in a prayer position and you grab onto the horns of the altar of God and you do not let go of Him until the answer comes from heaven. And look what happens. On the very day when the enemies of the Jews expected to overpower them, the exact opposite happened. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. If you would, Amy, I know you had a couple things you wanted to add to this at the end. Things that we can pray. You passed out the prayer notes. So come on up. How many of you think that the prayer and fasting made a difference? Did it make a difference? So we've seen so many great miracles to grabbing onto God in prayer. And Amy, you've got something that Lou Engels prepared on the Esther fast, I believe.
And you know, I think too, what the Lord's calling us to is if we'll make that secret place time, at least an hour every day. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? Could you not pray 1 hour? Jesus said. And as we make that time and secure that time to get with the Lord and set ourselves for praying and being in the Word, we're going to see some of the decrees of the enemy turned around and even over our own lives. And so we're going to spend just a few moments also today praying for some of the things that people all over America that have been involved in this fast have been praying. And so if you'd like to pray over one of these, could you come forward, or if I've already asked you, and anyone who'd like to pray, we're going to have just a couple different people lead and pray 60 seconds for each one of these, and then we're all going to agree. So come forward now if you can, if you'd like to pray. And Twain and Amy, you come up too. Want you to be a part of this. So here's what we're going to agree for, and let's just stand up while we pray these things. This is going to be a short amount of prayer. How many believe that as we pray in agreement over these things, things can turn around in prayer? Now, one thing, when we think about the edict that was given about the Jewish people that was turned around, and then we think about the Holocaust, what happened to all of those precious, precious Jewish people? And sometimes you wonder, where were the people of Germany when this was going on? Where were the people praying? Well, I believe that even today we have an edict that's been given regarding the babies in our nation that have been being killed, this edict that they are being destroyed through abortion. But there's a moment, there's a window right now that if we pray, there's a chance that this could be turned around, yeah. These precious babies. And who else but us to pray for a miraculous turnaround on behalf of all of these precious babies. So, Julie, would you lead us in just praying as this reversal of Roe v. Wade is coming up and the defunding of Planned Parenthood and all that? Just could you pray into this, and we're all going to agree for this prayer.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, that it would be exposed as a modern-day death decree, Esther 3:9, in the name of Jesus. It's almost a blanket of blindness that over the country that sees that this death decree over our baby, the one place in the mother's womb that's not safe. In the name of Jesus, we just lift this up to you, that your timing is so perfect, just like that you did in Esther's life, Lord. We just thank you for that. We pray for the shifting of the U.S. Supreme Court to turn this and other unjust laws. We just thank you. We even know that Norma McCordy, the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade, she felt like a pawn. If this wasn't her will, she became a Christian. She died less than a month ago, still fighting against it. In the name of Jesus, pray for those who have had abortions to be healed and restored, to become voices of life. Heavenly Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
for all the mothers and fathers that have had abortions, Lord, the hurt, the pain, the lifelong guilt and shame, and to be removed. Lord, let them seek you for complete restoration and healing. I remember in the 70s, there was a story about a baby named Tilly, and how in this mother's dream, this little baby that went to heaven due to abortion came back and forgave that mom. We just thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for this is not a judgment on the people that made choices that were not informed. The information is so just completely muddled up with mud and lies. In the name of Jesus, let them see the truth of what's growing in their womb. And let the counselors be there. As a former pro-life counselor, and young women walking in with unwanted pregnancies, there are so many other ways to go, Lord. Give them those options. Give them the truth of who you are in creating life, and that we are not to take it. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the courts of the land, that God would raise up righteous judges. He will bring ones down and exalt others. Psalm 75:7, that the judges and the ones that have just even embedding themselves in our government and for a course of not fairness and that liberty and justice that our court should stand for, Lord, that it should go to the letter of the law. We pray in the name of Jesus that you give us fair-minded and legally minded judges, and then without any agendas, in the name of Jesus, we cast out all the people that plot against us and plot against you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you that you are taking a direction in this country that fights for the rights of these children, fights for the rights of these mothers and fathers. I have a father I know that once as a teen had 3 abortions with his girlfriend, and then in so much shame and finding Jesus has committed to never having another child. We just pray for healing. Healing on all of it, Lord. Let them come to your altar and just see that you have a better plan for their life.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. So we're following along. Guys, do you know, as we're just setting ourselves, and I know this is unusual, but we have an opportunity with all of us in unity right now as we are praying these things. God moves things. The angels are released. Things happen. And so we're taking a moment in our service today to do what Pastor Matt has just talked about. So follow along and let's really get in agreement and in faith. And Dwayne, you're going to pray number 2. And how many of you know, heard the news about the witches that put a curse on our president? This is a real thing. But guess who has much more authority than whatever any witch could say? And so, thank you, Lord.
Father, I just praise you and thank you right now that you do hear and answer prayer. And I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against our current president, President Trump, will be able to prevail. I thank you for Isaiah 44:24-25. It says, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, witches or those that would speak curses. I thank you, Father God, that you are the one true God, the one powerful God. There is no plan or purpose or strategy that can succeed against you or your people. Help us to be wholeheartedly serving you, Lord, and doing our part to participate and to pray and to utter the decrees that need to be made so that your will is accomplished in this earth. Help us to be known as those that will do what you've asked us to do. Thank you, Lord. I pray for Mordecai, how he operated to protect the king, that Mordecais would be raised up across this country, that they'd be concerned with protecting what God has put in place, rather than being selfish and greedy. Thank you, Lord, for Mordecai's all across this land, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that the agents of wickedness all around the United States will be exposed. The secondary shadow government that was set up, may they be exposed for what they're doing, trying to undermine the current administration. Lord, we thank you that you are moving and you are provoking good people, your army, to stand up and do what they're supposed to do, that the enemy would be exposed. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that Christians that have aligned themselves with wickedness would repent. Thank you, Lord. That their dark attitudes would be changed. And that their words would be respectful and honoring toward those in authority.
We thank you, Father God, that you are changing us. You're making us more like you. You're causing us to be a light in this land as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Pray for our president every day. Whatever you think of President Trump, personally, I want to tell you something. God has set him in this place to be used by God for this hour. And as believers, we are praying God's will for him. And we're praying for godly counsel surrounding him. And we're praying that he is being used of God to bring righteousness in our land. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can sit down if you need to rest and pray. I don't want you to get distracted by being too tired standing up. So you can stand or sit. Coach, now, we want to pray for, we're always praying for Israel. We're always praying for the will of God for Israel. And we know there's been a rise of anti-Semitism. We know there's been a rise of just being against the Jewish people in Israel. Could you please pray number three?
Thank you, Lord. For this time. Thank you for, Lord, for who you are. And the enemy is doing so many different things when violence and just evil. And, Lord, we know that we are more than conquerors in you. And, Lord, that you called the Jewish people for a very special place. And we heard that even deeper last year at the Seder dinner, that one little place with so many things going on in the world is so evident in today's society. And Lord, it's your kingdom. Lord, as you come down, it's basically, it's your footstool. We come to you. Lord, in Jerusalem, we ask your hand over it. Lord, be with all the Jews, Lord, that you came as a Jew. And I think back way back in 1973 in college where a guy said, well, I'm not a Christian, but Jesus was a Jew. And I think way back at this, remembering that you chose that chosen people. Lord, we have our ones that we love so dearly. And you love us all. But Lord, there's no question how much you love the Jewish nation. And Lord, that you're bringing our nation back in line with that is so important. We just bind the enemy from all the thefts. And Lord, we ask your hand over the Jewish country, the Jewish people with Israel and the nation that it is. And Lord, that they will continue to be bold and strong and very courageous because you are with them. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them, direct them. And Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for choosing the Jewish people. You pray that more and more will come to know and love and serve you, Lord, that they won't get out of the things of the past and get into the Messiah, the true relationship with Jesus Christ. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then I've asked Christina to lead us in a prayer of agreement. And this can be for men and women, but especially for an Esther movement of righteous women arising to take their place. And so I thought, Christina, you'd be a perfect person to pray for this. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this younger generation of women and girls will rise up, no matter what ethnicity, race, sickness, age. They will be filled with your Holy Spirit, love, light, life, and liberty. They will speak before kings and priests, and they will be willing and unafraid. Thank you, Lord. Upright women will be granted positions of influence in their homes, churches, and civic realms. People will recognize the power you have put in them. In the name of Jesus. They will apprehend your creative kingdom strategies for our unmet societal needs. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Melania Trump, Lord, that she will be an Esther in her position for the purposes of you, Lord. Fill her with you, with your love. Let her be an example to all women. Lord, her testimony. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Christina, we agree with this. And now we're going to pray for the Church of the Living God. We're going to be arising to take our place. And Elvi, the prayer for that.
Thank you. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity that we come in agreement. There is power in the prayer of agreement. So we know that from this place, in this moment, there is power arising, praying for the Church, for men, women, and young people who will arise to our place as new creation people, united in God's purpose, intent on seeking you, Father, loving your word, people of prayer, governed by the Holy Spirit, alert to the time that we are in, doing the great commission given to us by Our King, Father, King of Kings, we thank you, Father, and we pray in this moment for all the corners in this planet Earth where there are missionaries, where are ministries, where are those who are planting seeds of your church. Father, we came against all the power of darkness that has making assignments against your body. Father, arise. Arise, Father. Arise, a wall of protection around all your house. And we, Father, we bind in your name under the authority of Matthew 18:18. Anything that we bind on earth will be bind on heaven. Anything we loose on earth will be loose on heaven. So we bind any assignment, any witchcraft, any declaration, any assignment that has been done, a decree or declaration against your body and your church. So we declare, Father, that we lose all your angels, all the army of heavens, Father, coming in protection for your people, your children, and your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We agree. And then Amy Hoover, would you please pray? You know, Jesus said to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers to be in the harvest. And how many of you believe every one of us at the river? Let's believe that we are these laborers, that the Lord is raising us up to go into the harvest fields, that we must have our eyes upon the lost, and that the Lord is mobilizing his church to truly see the harvest fields ripe and white unto harvest. Amy, would you pray this last one?
Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you've made us sons and daughters, Lord. Lord, that we will not take that lightly, that it's an honor and a privilege to be your son and daughter, Lord, that we are your ambassadors, Lord, that we are your children, that we're to walk up in royalty. We're the king's kids. We are princesses and princesses. Prince and princesses. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord. And you also have given us everything that we need to do this. You've given us your full armor of God. You've given us everything. You said all things are ours. Lord, that we will use this, Lord, that we will not be not be disobedient, Lord, but that we will fulfill what you have for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, you are not a respecter of persons, Lord, and I pray that we will not be a respecter of persons. We will go in the highways and byways, Lord, and we will be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. We will hear your still, small voice, and we will be obedient and act upon it, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray that you just help us through this, Lord. Give us the boldness, the compassion. Give us your eyes to see and your ears to hear, Lord, that we will speak what you would want us to speak, Lord. We will have that heart of compassion and love. Lord, that we will go where our feet will go where you want us to go, and our hands will do what you want us to do, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir.
Esther 9:22 says that it was in that month, on that day, the Jews, their grief turned to joy and their mourning into a holiday. The disaster that was determined by the enemy turned into a blessing, for all the Jews were promoted in the provinces of the Mede-Persian Empire. And so when we pray, God gets involved in his eternal plan that he's way ahead of the devil. It gets established. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I bless the river today. I thank you that we are full of living energy, full of your anointing and your power. And Lord, our hearts are full of your love and our eyes are open today, that we're not sleepy. We're not disconnected. That we're abiding in the vine, and we know this hour that we have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we receive it, our position. We receive our position, and we go forth today committed to being a man and woman of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everyone.